Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Let's pray before we dig into God's word together. So again, on Trinity Sunday, we're reminded that you are this perfect community of love, in need of nothing or no one, and yet you invite us in, welcome us to be part of that, to share in your love and to share in your action. Thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, would you illuminate our hearts again, make us ready to receive the word of God. Thank you that the word is truth, that it brings life. It cuts between the bone and marrow. It's sharp. Thank you for that. Sharpen us and lead us into truth, to the glory of the Father, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to ask a question this morning. What are you confident in? Got a little picture of a little lad in confidence. Yes, mate. I love that picture. It's like, I'm what? You've got your confidence in your cape and your makeup on there. What are you confident in? Yeah. Yeah, if you've been to the Capitol ball, earplugs, listen to Little Mix all the time. What are you confident in? And as the chosen people of God, this time, this place, this city, what are we confident in? Is it our own ability? Is it the political stability? Too soon? What are we confident in? You see, we live in a city where the soundtrack of hope and unity through a time of terror is about someone called Sally. You're thinking, what are you talking about? Who is Sally? Exactly. Have a look at this. On the next one, please. Thank you. And so Sally can wait. She knows it's too late. Why is it too late? Who is this? Why is it too late? As we're walking on by, her soul slides away. I'm sorry about that, Sally. But don't look back in anger, I heard you say. Now, 50,000 people in our city were gathered. As I watched on the telly, and Gareth was reflecting on this, and I've kind of nicked it from him, so thank you, Gareth. But we were sort of chatting about this and saying, oh my days, 50,000 people, hands outstretched, singing this song. And when it got to this chorus, it went off. It's this kind of chorus of defiance. And look, I get it. I get it. It's a really good one-liner. Don't look back in anger in the midst of everything else. But don't look back in anger. But what do then we have to look forward to? And you know, I want us to talk about confidence this morning, because I was on the Walk of Witness yesterday with some other churches from around the region area. And you know, it was about 200 people who gathered, and we were at the cathedral and we worshipped Jesus there. Then we did a walk down Chapel Street, then we worshipped Jesus in the Manchester Cathedral. And you know, it was probably about 200 people. And when we sang outside to the city, something within me just broke, where I saw people more passionate about singing about Sally, whoever the Sally is, than about my Jesus, who is really the hope, who is really the one that we can stand together in and make a difference in the name of. And so I want to call us this morning for a confidence in the commission that God has given us, a confidence to go and to make disciples. So to do that, we're gonna get into our reading, and we saw that in the midst of Christ's The risen Jesus is still before the disciples, but also they reckon that in 1 Corinthians it talks about sort of 500 others. So they think it was a big gathering of people. And the risen Christ stands before them. And when people see him, they worship. I love that. When we see Jesus, we just, our position is just worship. But you know what? Some doubted. And that gives me hope. That gives me a little bit of like, do you know what? The disciples and the crowds didn't always get it. It's okay when I don't always get it. But I want my position to be one of worship. And Jesus commissioned them. And so I'm going to look at four very sort of quick things that I think will help us this morning as we get a confidence. Because Christ says to his church, he says, go. He didn't just say, just do the come thing. He says, go. He commissions to go. And I want a confidence in that. And you may be saying, well, actually, Chris, you don't get me. You don't understand the problem. I'm not confident because I have to go. It's the going bit I'm not confident in. I'm fine to come. I'm great to sing a few songs to Jesus and have some biscuits. I love that part. But it's the going I'm not confident in. Well, you're not alone. If that's you this morning, you're not alone, but we can't stay in that position because we've got a vision far too big to stay in that position of we don't really know how to go or when to go or what to say or what to do because actually we've got a city to reach. And these guys have been commissioned and we're part of that team where we're saying, we want to reach a city, Greater Manchester. We want to reach Greater Manchester with the good news, the hope of Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. So a few things that we can hopefully learn from. And you're going to come out confident people. We're going to be like, I'm what? That's right, confident. First thing is his power. Jesus, in our reading, says that all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. All authority, not a little bit of authority, not a little bit of, well, I think it's my authority. No, no, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And God, throughout Matthew's gospel, Matthew paints the picture and validates Jesus to back his claim. He shows that he's the one who can have authority, which is another word for power, is authority over sickness. Authority and power over sin. Authority and power over death. Authority and power over creation, over heaven and earth. Authority, full stop. Jesus didn't talk about just his authority. He demonstrated it. He walked in the authority that he had. And he calls the church to do the same. So when you think, well, I've not got power. I can't do that. I can't make a difference. No, we can't. But we stand in the name of someone who can. Who's not just talks about his power, but has demonstrated his power. And this is why it's really important that as a church, we take some of the ownership for our own discipleship, that we get before God each day and we're reminded of who we are and who God is, and that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. It lives in us. And I want to remind you that. Why are we happy to live a powerless life? Why are we happy just to try and do what everyone else does and put your... like? Why are we not going after the things that God says we can do? And I'm talking to myself here. And often when I reflect on that, it's because I forgot whose name I stand under. I forget the power that by the Holy Spirit has been invested into me. And I forget whose orders that I'm serving. You know, it does me nutting when you have like slow drivers on the road. I'm not talking about like, you know, you always keep within the speed limit because if not, the angels fall off, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying that when people have got 3-liter twin turbo, double exhaust pipe cars and they go 24 miles an hour in a 30 zone, I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And then when they get to the speed camera for 30, they slow down to 20. I'm like, it's not going to get you at 30, let alone 24. But so often, you know, I see some of these people. My granddad was a great example of this. He had this amazing sort of Bentley, but he never took it out of third gear. And you know, the car's going like, change me. And what if it's the same with us? What if we've got this incredible power within us that we just don't use? We're happy just to meander in third gear when God's saying there's so much more. There's so much more for us. Are we trusting in his power? And you know, one of the things that I've been reflecting on as well, that Paul, you know, one of the greatest evangelists, one of the great people who spread about Jesus and wrote about Jesus and saw people come to faith. You know what? He said, I didn't come with eloquence. I came with power. And So often, I'm sorry if this has been the case in your previous things as well, or just in your Christian journey, where we've been taught how to do eloquence, but we've not taught how to operate in power. And I want to see, I don't want to just be able to give my nice, neat, perfect theology of everything. Look, theology is really important, but I want to be able to just come and pray in the name of Jesus and see things change, because that's what God's called us for. It's power. Not our power, but his power. So let's have authority in that and go confident. Second thing is his presence. So, presence is important in relation to power. Let me just say that again. Presence is important in relation to power. If you've got an iPhone, you'll understand this concept. Because it's great having a powerful iPhone, but you need a charger everywhere you go with you. Can you just give me one day that I don't have to charge it all the way through? And the great news is, when it comes to Christ's commission, is that his presence is as continuous as his call. And therefore, there's power. And I love this, that with Jesus, it's a great co-mission. It's not the commission where he goes, right, little flock, you go and I'll see you on the other side. I'm just chilling out. And then you come back and I'll give you a slap if you've not done quite right. He says, no, I'll be with you. I go with you. Surely to the end of the age, I am there. I am with you. And how is he? How is that? By the Holy Spirit in and through us. It's a co-mission. It's God's mission. We're in partnership with him. He's good. He wants to see the city transformed. We don't have to blag him. We don't have to pretend like, Lord, it's a really good idea for that person to come to faith. He knows. But he's waiting for us to step out and partner with him. That's why we're the church. I don't know why he did that. I remember Gareth saying a few sermons ago, it's the daftest idea in the world. Why did he bother with us? But he's chosen us. We're his hands and feet. So his presence goes with us. And I love this image of a lion that's... the iPhone thing. So often in my little Christian walk, I feel like the little pussycat, just in the ordinary, not really doing much. And the shadow that we cast is of a lion. I love that. There's something about that, right? Just as we're in our everyday. Alice, I saw you walking as I was coming into morning prayer. I saw you walking. You're walking with purpose. And I love that. I was like, yes, girl. That was great. But I was just praying for you. Just saying, thank you so much, Lord, for Alice. Just thank you for what you're doing. I pray that she'd have a massive influence in her workplace, on her colleagues, and that she would see that she's that lion. She's not a little cat just walking down the road. There's this presence, because God's presence is in you. And that's what we pray for. We pray morning prayer. We pray for the church. We pray for you, that you would know the power and presence of God in and at work and through you. You are not powerless. You can make a difference. It's not, that's for all the other people who are gifted. It's nonsense. It's for you. It's for us. And the actual meaning of this, when Jesus says go, you like this. I said we're not bothered about neat theology, but this one's impressive because I got it from a scholar. It means it's an active, present participle. You like that? You don't seem that impressed by that. It took me ages to find that. Active, present participle church. Nope. Yes, thank you, Gareth. They're amazing. Which actually means it's active. It's present. It means as you go. So it's not just go to your mission thing. I loved it. Lizzie's a perfect example of this. When we went to our mission in Spinning Fields, that's the kind of go. Go to the nation. Go to Spinning Fields there. But it means as you go there. And Lizzie, we were running out of eggs before we got to Spinning Field because she was just sharing the gospel with everyone, praying, even giving shops that sold Cadbury's cream eggs. And just an amazing testament. And that's the thing. It's as you go. It's in the everyday. It's not just the big mission trips to the nations. It's in our everyday sphere of life. God is with us. Therefore, his power is at work in us. The third thing I want to say is his promise. His presence and power are his promise over our lives. And it's a promise that cannot be revoked. It's a promise that cannot be taken away. Does that not give you confidence? He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Not some other way. Go in my name. I am with you. Go after. Make disciples. Make little learners. Make little followers of Jesus. Because you know what? I am with you. Stop fearing. Stop making excuses. I am with you. That's his promise. God is who he says he is and does what he says he will do. Does that not give you confidence this morning? There's a promise that a day will come, what we talked about, where there's no more terror. No more bombs, no more war, no more suffering, no more tears, no more mental health, no more abuse, no more domestic violence, no more. And we get to be little carriers of that day in the now. We get to be little glimpses of the Holy Spirit deep within us, the deposit of what's to come. Let's go after that. Let's not, as Christians, just sit here and those things are okay. What you see in your workplace, go after it, because the power and presence of Christ is with you and in you by the Holy Spirit. So, we have his power. That's a good thing, right? We have his presence, and we have his promise over us as a church. So the fourth thing, and this is the last thing that I want to say. So what is our priority? Therefore, go and make disciples. And the crowd said, sorry, I'm too busy, I'm washing my hair. Sorry, I've got the new series of Line of Duty lined up for you. Sorry, I can't come on mission. Sorry. No, they didn't. They went. And this is a tough one for me. And I don't mean to like be the one who's like, oh, point the finger and stuff like that. But if we're going to do this, we need to be challenged, right, as well. And I need to be challenged. I'm challenging myself. Is God our priority? Does he have our first, our best, our attention, our affection, our ambition? Does he have our yes? You see, Christ is present in us. We've talked about that, the power and presence in us. So will we be present in the world? Or are we just going to hide away? Are we just going to hide away in our comfy Christian zones or in our homes? Or are we going to go after those things that we've talked about? So can I encourage you, please be one of the connect groups. I know it's hard for time sometimes, or if it doesn't work out, let's make something work, a place where you can be discipled, therefore you can go and make disciples. And this discipleship thing can feel so scary, right? It's like, well, I don't know all the answers, I don't know how to do that. That's fine, we're all on a journey. It's all about following and learning. And then what you learn, like, so the things I learn, I'm passing on. I just go, oh. Maybe that works for you. And it's just encouraging one another, those things. And if we're not present with one another and we're not present in the world, then we're not going to see the city changed. That's just a reality. So it's a challenge to me. So, beautiful people of Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of a king, what are you confident in this morning? And what are you going to be confident in tomorrow morning when you wake up and whatever it is, whether it's family, whether it's the job center, whether it's work, whether it's university, seeing friends, seeing family, how are you going to position yourself? Because you are a people of power because of God's presence and his promise. So let's make him our priority. Amen.